At your lotus feet, I fearlessly implore you this time, O Hari, give me your mercy. I shall cross the ocean of sorrow by the boat of your holy name. Asleep, you are ever awake. Every moment we make only errors, our eyes being covered by illusion. Obeisance is unto you, O Ghanshyam. Covering, so that I may behold your form as the divine couple with Sri Radha by your side. I will gaze at you until my hankering eyes are pacified, and thus I will fulfill my soul's desire. Refuge at your lotus feet. I fearlessly implore you, O Lord, this time, O Hari, give me your mercy. I shall cross the ocean of sorrow by the boat of your holy name. This metaphor of crossing the ocean of material existence by the holy name of the Lord is expanded quite dramatically by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his comment on the fifth verse of the Shikshastakam. Listen to this. It's quite striking. O Lord Krishna. That's also quite striking. O Lord Krishna, O son of Nanda Maharaj, I am your eternal servant. Now, as we hear this, think of I, meaning this is me pleading, praying, speaking to our Lord. O Lord Krishna, son of Nanda Maharaj, I am your eternal servant. But as a result of my previous activities, I have now fallen into this terrible ocean of material existence. Lust, greed, anger, envy, and all the rest are my adversaries. They are my enemies. They wait in the waters of this ocean of material existence like big fish ready to swallow me up. Waves of my hopes, waves of my anxieties toss me here and there, making my life miserable. Lashing storms of bad association add further suffering. Prabhu. I'm not convinced. Move back, please. Waves of my hopes and anxieties toss me here and there, making my life miserable. Lashing gales of bad association add further suffering. In this condition, therefore, I see you alone as my shelter. I now and then see some small bunches of weeds floating nearby. These are the weeds of karma, jnana, yoga, austerities, etc. I tried to catch hold of them to help me as I am ravaged by this storm. storms of my fate in this ocean of material existence. But has anyone actually ever crossed the mighty ocean of nescience by their strength? In trying to swim across this ocean, some have reached out to grab these weeds for support. But unfortunately, everything, including the person himself, sinks like dead weights. Factually, I can see that there is no hope for shelter other than your unlimited mercy. The sturdy boat of your holy name is the only means of crossing over this dangerous ocean of material existence. Soberly considering these facts, I begged for the invincible boat of your holy name from my guru, which he gave me by his causeless mercy. O Lord, you are the renowned protector of your devotees, those souls surrendered to your lotus feet. Therefore, please accept this homeless destitute, this poverty-stricken person who has no wealth. Cleanse me of my faults and consider me as a particle of dust at your lotus feet. The words of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Yesterday we spoke of the three verses, the first three verses of Shikshastakam. And in a practical way, we offered some advice on how to apply those principles very simply. First, chant Hare Krishna. Suki Duki Bolo Nako Vadane Harinam Korore. Chant Hare Krishna. Regardless of your mentality, happy, sad, chant. Take shelter of Krishna's names. Chant Krishna's names. And then, to actually make advancement towards the goal, kriti sadhya bhavet sasaranadabhi nitya sadasya bhavasa prakattam riddhi sadhyata. To achieve the sadhya, the goal, we must chant offenselessly. And we stressed avoiding pramad or inattentiveness as we chant. Because that, in the words of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, is the mother of all offenses. All offenses spring from that. And we suggested that the devotees make the task while they're chanting very simple and listen to one Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Very simple. Just hear one mantra. It is so powerful. Eka Krishna Nama Kore Sarva Papachai. All sinful reactions gone. One name of Krishna. And to do that properly, we have to be determined. We should be focused. We should know what our goal is. To chant offenselessly. To chant attentively. So we have to make a sankalpa in our mind. We have to make a determination. This is what I'm going to do. This is my task right now. I'm going to chant and hear. And be happy when I hear one name, one mantra. It is glorious, in fact. That is in a simple practical form, the message of the second verse of Durdaivam, the cure, the problem of our unfortunateness. Durdaivam idrisami ha nanu jarura, and our lack of taste. If we just hear the holy name. And then, as the fourth principle that we suggested yesterday, and corresponding to the third verse of Shikshastakam, Kirtaniya Sadahari, to achieve chanting Krishna's names, one has to be humble. How does one become humble? Just try and be a good devotee. Rather than becoming ecstatic, primarily you'll become humble. Try to become a servant of the holy names. You will become humble. Try to be unselfish. Rather than becoming immediately ecstatic, we will become humble. Life of a sincere practitioner has its way, I don't want to say of humiliating us, but that's the process of becoming humble. We will become humiliated because the universe fails. It refuses to cooperate with our false ego conception that I am the center of existence, that I am important. Real ego, who we really are, is we're just insignificant. Insignificant what? Souls and more who we are, servants. And more servants of who? Krishna. And everyone, really. We can't avoid the fact that we're servants and we can't avoid the fact that we're insignificant. And practically speaking, in 50 years from now, or 100 years from now, say 100 years from now, how many people will be alive that ever knew that we even existed? How many people in 100 years from now on this planet will be alive who even know we ever existed? And here I am thinking myself so important and trying to convince everyone else that I'm so important. This is called Maya, illusion. We can never be anything other than insignificant servants of Krishna. So therefore, humility, when we come to grips to some degree with our insignificance and actually how dependent we are upon Krishna, in fact, in reality, actually, then and how precarious our position is in the material world. Because we think, naturally, we go on, the sun rises and I'll wake up and tomorrow's just going to be sort of like today was, a little different, hopefully a little bit better, and then the next day will be like this, and the next... But it doesn't happen like that. One day, we wake up, and this really hurts over here, and we go to the doctor to find out what the problem is, and he says, sorry, you have 6 months to live, or 2 months, or 1 week, you have this incurable disease, or we're walking down the road in the world of our mind, imagining so many things about the past, and the future, and even the present, just imagining in this illusory universe, and then boom, something happens, and it's over. Slowly or quickly, one day is going to be our last day in this body. And we don't know when. So therefore, when we come to grips with this reality, we know we need a shelter. And that takes the humility of understanding our insignificance, as described in Trinada Pisanichena, Tarora Pisihisnuna. And therefore we call out to Krishna for shelter. And that we've termed as Namasraya. Oh Krishna, Krishna, please accept me. Prabhupada translated the Mahamantra in that way. Please accept me. Please let me serve you. And Srila Jiva Goswami explains that this sharanagati, or surrender, or taking shelter of Krishna, awards us with a sense of belonging to Krishna, because we're right now cut off. We're cut off from belonging to anyone. We try to solidify so many relationships in this world, and that ends up frustrating us because Krishna bhule se jivanadi bahimuk, we've turned our back on Krishna. And bhakti yoga is the process of turning towards Krishna from bahimuk to samuk, turning our face towards Krishna. So when we just accept Krishna, I am yours. This is who I am. I am yours, your servant. I am yours. When we accept that, that gives us a sense of belonging to Krishna. I am yours, and gradually you are mine. And this is the seed of love for Krishna, that sense of belonging. So, the principles that Mahaprabhu has described in his Shikshastakam, they are imbibed as we chant in different types of practices. So which level should we chant on? Naturally, we like to chant on the highest level, but perhaps we don't have the capacity to do that immediately. But we should, whatever level our consciousness is on, we should chant on that level. So sometimes all I can do is just chant. My mind won't allow me to hear even one Maha Mantra or one name. So then I should chant. And then perhaps at a different time, even in the same session or on a different day, I get the ability by the mercy of the holy names to chant and hear something. So I hear a mantra. And then, but there's not so much mood or bhava of taking shelter or taste in it or anything. But at least I can hear a mantra. And then perhaps I understand that I need Krishna's shelter because I'm Krishna's. So when my consciousness comes to that level, my chanting will have that different mood, like expressed in the song, I need your shelter, like a person drowning in the ocean needs a boat. I need that. I need that. I require that. Oh Lord, I am yours. Krishna, please, a holy name, please accept me. And so we may even go back and forth in these different levels of chanting, even in 1 2-hour, 1 hour session. But whatever level where our consciousness is, we should chant. And ultimately, the best way to chant is with full love. But we should chant whatever level we naturally can chant at any particular time. Now the fourth verse of Shikshastakam describes the next level of chanting according to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Bhajan Rahasya. As the third verse, Trinadapi Sunichena, has described the platform of Nishta, and as the first verse has described Shraddha, it has given us some faith in the holy name. And the second verse has described Anartana Vritti, or the process of cleansing the heart and allowing humility to arise in the heart. Excuse me, understanding our unfortunateness and trying to chant without offense. And then the third verse, understanding our unfortunateness and our precariousness. So the fourth verse of the Shikshastakam, according to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he has placed that verse on the platform of ruchi, or taste. Now I'd like to describe in brief about that, which also will give us some hints how we can achieve the platform of ruchi. Please note that each platform, each stage of Krishna consciousness, from Shraddha to Prem, contains all the qualities of the previous stage. but even more intensely. So it is not that we graduate from the stage of taking shelter of Krishna, the stage of nishtha, and then we're finished with that stage when we go on to the stage of ruchi, or taste. No, our need, the intensity of our need for Krishna's shelter simply increases, and that is what gives birth to taste. So who are the ones, who are the personages who are most taking shelter of Krishna? That's the residents of Vrindavan. It is not that they've surpassed that stage and no longer take shelter of Krishna, but rather their shelter of Krishna, they feel in a moment's separation from Krishna that their life has no existence. And therefore they call him Prananath, the Lord of their life, the Lord of their existence. Their taking shelter is most intense. And their taste is most intense. And not only that, amazingly enough, their humility is most intense. And that means that Srimati Radharani is the most humble. And Srila Prabhupada once gave a talk in which he said, when you give a flower, I think it was Radhastami, 1972 or 3 in London, when you give a flower to Krishna, don't give it directly to Krishna. Place it in the hand of Srimati Radharani. And she will say to Krishna, oh, this devotee is such a nice devotee. He's a better devotee than me. My Ganashama, my Shama, please accept, give him your mercy. He's a better devotee than me. So, the verse, the fourth verse, describes clearly what one on the platform of ruchi actually has a taste for. Nadanam, and what one doesn't have a taste for. One doesn't have a taste for the things of this world. And one has a deep taste for the service of Krishna. Ahaituki bhakti. So nadanam, najanam, nasundarim, kavitam va jagadisha janmani. One doesn't want wealth. Nadanam, najanam, followers. These things are subtle and gross. And they will follow a devotee. Nadanam, najanam, nasundarim. Beautiful members of the opposite sex will come and say, oh, what a wonderful class you've given. Or kavitam sundari also means, kavita means poetry also. Not even a taste for the beautiful poetry, the subtle elements of this world. I don't want these things. Mama janami janamini shvare. I don't even want to stop my suffering. Now that is the most subtle and difficult thing to want, to not want to stop, that desire for liberation. A devotee doesn't get great pleasure from suffering, but his desire is not to remove the suffering. No one likes suffering, but that's not really what is pushing him or motivating him. He wants to serve. Because there is a taste that comes from serving Krishna that makes the suffering appear insignificant, and therefore Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings that let me even take birth again. And even as a bug. Or even a dog sometimes, he sings. I don't care, long as I have the association of devotees. If I'm a bug, I can crawl upon the table after the, or the floor after the devotees have taken prasadam. And I can get some of their remnants. This cannot be artificially imitated, this mood, in case you have not noticed. But the taste that devotees on this level have for the service of Krishna enlivens them so much that they don't care for the sufferings of this world. It is insignificant for them. Insignificant. There is a famous little Vaishnava story, a story, how one young lady was running through the forest paths to meet her lover, just at the time when the sun was setting, that very magical and mystical time. And there was a Brahmin who just at the sandhya, at the time of setting, had sat down on the path to say his mantra. So as he was concentrating or trying to concentrate on his mantra, she came running down the path, knocked into him, just pushed her way through, and went running to meet her lover. And the Brahmin was so upset. She has kicked me with her feet. She was completely inconsiderate. Who does she think she is? And on and on. You know what it's like to try to say your mantra when when something has happened? No concentration. And then, in a few hours later, he was still there, sort of brooding on the entire event. And she comes walking back very peacefully. She offers her obeisances to him very respectfully. Oh, my dear Brahmana. And he's very confused. One minute you're knocking me over. The next minute you're completely respectful. What type of consciousness do you have? And she very humbly told him that then I was going to meet my lover. And my mind was so full of the thoughts of meeting someone I love that actually I didn't even notice that you were there. I'm sorry, please forgive me. And now after, I'm in my regular consciousness. Please forgive me, please forgive me. So when someone has even a tinge, the slightest tinge, a taste for love for Krishna, even the miseries of this world appear insignificant. It can't be artificially done, and imitation is frowned upon, discouraged. It will get us nowhere. But yet we should know the power of true love, even in this world, what to speak of love for Krishna. Makes this world insignificant. Makes pain insignificant. Pain on the material level. So even taking another birth, the devotees have such, on this level, have such a desire for service. Loving service. Not service, the English word, but seva. Devotional service, bhakti, that's what they want. Nadanam, nadjanam, nasundarim. I don't want wealth. I don't want these things. I don't want followers. Pratishtadi yata upasakagan. These are weeds. But interestingly enough, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is described devotion on the Nishta platform, and he has explained that these things still exist in the heart, but in Nishta, desire, subtly or grossly, they exist in the heart on the platform of Nishta. But when the devotee experiences these desires or anything else unfavorable or different from his devotional service to Krishna, when these things awaken in his consciousness, he takes shelter of Krishna. In every circumstance, the devotee on the platform of Nishta, he takes shelter of Krishna. Every day, so many favorable, unfavorable things, things we like, icha, dvesha, samutena, dvandva, mohena, bharata, good things, bad things happen to us every day. And where does our mind take shelter? Where does it go when something unfavorable or favorable to us, where does the mind go for shelter? Does it go towards anger? Does it forget Krishna when something good happens, when we win the lottery, or we, whatever, something happens, our desire is fulfilled? Do we forget Krishna when something bad happens? Someone pushes us, gives us an elbow, steals our shoes, whatever. What does our mind do? This, watch yourself and see what your mind does. A devotee on the platform of Nishta, his mind invariably will embrace the lotus feet of Krishna, understanding that he's just being knocked around by the waves of the ocean of material existence, being pushed this way. Watch the emotions of the mind. This is the waves of a rough ocean of material existence. Watch the waves of your own mind. And where do we look for shelter? Do we climb onto the boat of Nama Prabhu, of the holy names, that invincible shelter? Or do we get on the boat a little bit, and then when it gets a little rough or very rough, do we jump off fearfully? We're on the boat and we jump off for the shelter of the ocean. That's what my mind does so many times every day. So Nishta is the platform when we're holding on for whatever reason. And then Ruchi is the platform when we become very aware of our incapacity, our inability, our great lacks, our humility and consciousness has increased. And we're so aware of these things existing in our heart, and we've tried to clean the heart, and still we find more and more evidence of dirty things in our heart. And we realize we have no hope. No hope other than the mercy of Krishna's holy names. A tension exists. I see my heart. I see that I am ruled by lust, anger, and greed. But I don't want that. I want a Haituki Bhakti. I want causeless devotional service. Causeless Haituki Bhakti means basically pure devotional service. Basically, this is the definition of pure devotional service that Srila Rupa Goswami gives. What is it? Anya Abhilasita Sanyam. Anavritam Anukulena Krishna Anusilanam Bhakti Utu. And Jiva Goswami says, When one renders devotional service without any desire, selfish desire for either karma or jnana, this is the Abhideya Tattva. This is the process of achieving Prema Bhakti. The process that will bring us to the platform that is the ultimate platform of Krishna consciousness. This is what I want. I want this quality of devotional service. But yet, the tension exists. Look what's in my heart. That type of humility is required. The humility is gained on the platform of Nishtha. But I want this. I want to serve Krishna. I want to serve Krishna. I don't want anything else. And yet, look at the quality of my heart. Chanting in this mood, depending on the holy names, calling out for the mercy of the holy names, despite the apparent disqualification in the heart. This is what gives birth to ruchi. Taste. By Krishna's mercy. By Krishna's mercy. By Krishna's mercy. We cannot think that this is a mechanical process. All I have to do is follow this formula in a very, very mechanical way. We should know what the formula is, but to apply it takes being on a high level, past the level of nishtha, and then working from nishtha to the level of ruchi. What stops us from being on the platform of nishtha? And what stops us from moving from the platform of nishtha to the platform of taste, of ruchi? On the platform of nishtha, we're always taking shelter of Krishna. I have no other shelter other than you. I only want you and your service. So soon as we say that, Maya will say, "Oh, really? Is that all you want? Well, let's see. Let's see." And when one tries to chant, "I don't want this, and I don't want that, and I don't want that," and then desires will come into the mind. Watch your mind and see how you deal with those desires. Do you like to flirt with them? Do you like to play with them? Does the mind want to catch the taste of that? Or does it quickly call out to Krishna? Only, steadily, regularly. "Oh Krishna, oh Krishna, 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 Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Rama 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 Hari." If we can chant and call out to Krishna despite becoming conscious of this, letting our consciousness touch these things, but not dwelling on them for more than a moment. Just understand, "No, I don't want this." And just take full shelter of Krishna's names, then Krishna, as he desires, will award us taste. That is the process described in this verse, of the fourth verse of Shikshastaka. In Madhurya Kadambini, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes this journey from nishtha to ruchi. What can I say? This is the mood, the consciousness of a devotee on this, at this level, in this mood. What can I say? I can cough. What can I say? "I am unfortunate, for I am the lowest criminal. Though I have received the mercy of my spiritual master, I have not understood its proper value. Instead, I have been wandering everywhere, and in this way, I am wasting my life." keeping a precious jewel tied in the hem of my cloth. I've been searching out a cracked shell because it's glittering, a piece of glass. I've been searching for a spot of false happiness between the banks of the river of material engagements. I'm not seriously practicing any anga or part of bhakti. For that, I manifest no energy. So deceitful I am. What does deceitful mean? Cheater, dishonest, in a very cunning way. Letting everyone say, oh, I'm so fallen, I say, and everyone's, oh, what a humble devotee he is. And saying, yes, now they have understood. So deceitful I am. Chalu, cunning. Such is my sense of taste that I lick up the acrid, acidic tasting, mundane gossip. I love to hear gramyakata, just the gossip, especially when I hear that someone else is having trouble. And I say, oh, I'm so sad. And inside I'm saying, after what that person once said to me, he's lucky he didn't get worse. Inside, but outside. Oh, I'm so sad. Bhakti Vinod describes that type of hypocrisy. I love this type of gossip. To me, it tastes like nectar. But I'm apathetic to hear the names, qualities, and pastimes of the Lord. How unfortunate I am. Unfortunate. When I start to hear about the Lord, suddenly I become very comfortable. And fall asleep. And at any opportunity for vulgar discussion, my ears prick up and I become wide awake. In this way, I've contaminated the assembly of devotees and everything else. Old and aching and bent as I am, what sinful act have I not performed for the satisfaction of my insatiable belly? I do not know what type of hell I will have to suffer in all my activities. This is the person traveling from Nishtha to Ruchi. Continues. But there is hope. In this way, the devotee despairs over his previous state of consciousness. He feels actual disgust for the state of his consciousness. So, in while we're chanting our japa, we don't have to be reading these type of things. But an essential mood of one on that platform is, look at my consciousness, that I don't want this. I don't want this. In this way, the devotee despairs over his previous state of consciousness, feeling real disgust. And then, in a remote place like a swan, he begins to taste and reverently speak nectarian Krishna Katha, the juice from the fruit of the desire tree of the great Upanishad, the Srimad Bhagavatam, which teaches the mystical science of bhakti. He talks constantly with devotees, but he excludes any topic not related to Krishna. First, like a curious spectator, then standing closer, then sitting, and finally entering into the discussion with full attention. He also takes refuge in the Lord's Dham and fixes himself purely in the Lord's service. Ignorant people think that he has become mad, crazy. The blissful devotional service performed by the expert devotees is like a dance. And the devotee begins to learn the steps of that dance. Then, his hands being caught by the dance instructress. The one who is teaching him how to dance the dance of devotional service. And you know what the dance instructress's name is here? It describes, it's Ruchi. It's taste. He's doing his part and suddenly taste, the dance instructress, grabs him by his hand and starts moving him, teaching him the way of spontaneous devotion, basically, based on taste. He learns everything in this way. His hands, he begins to learn the steps of that dance. Then his hands, caught by the dance instructress, Ruchi, he learns everything. And he experiences an extraordinary, unprecedented, unimaginable, golden bliss that cannot be described. This is not in our control. And we should chant on the level that is appropriate to us. Now, Jiva Goswami also explains that this chanting with taste, and he quotes that Evam Vratam Priyanama Kirtya verse, this chanting with taste is the way to get to prema. So this is a very high stage. It is very wonderful. Even hearing about it is wonderful. Desiring is wonderful. But yet we should act on the level that we actually are. If all we can do is chant because our mind feels very dull and we can't even hear one name, one mantra, then we should chant in a very simple and honest way. And then if we can hear one name, one mantra, or many names, we should hear. And then if we can humbly take shelter of the holy names, knowing that we are our unfortunate condition or dangerous condition, putting some bhava, some mood into that, we should do that. And then if we become painfully aware of these, of the contaminations of the heart, and they push us because to Krishna's shelter, and we're completely dependent on Krishna, Krishna's holy names, because that's what it means. Take shelter of another. It means dependent on them. And that's what everyone in this world fears. Oh, does everyone fear becoming dependent on another? So surrender is terrifying for a conditioned soul. Terrifying. I trust myself, despite knowing that, having first-hand experience, that my mind is the most untrustworthy of all. It's betrayed me 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times. And then when we become painfully aware of these contaminations that still remain from our thousands of countless births in this world, and then praying to Krishna and placing ourselves in his hands, and seeing how much we need his mercy in the form of the holy names, and leaving it that, and living on that level, waiting, hoping, expecting, trusting that Krishna, when he so desires, will award us with whatever mercy he gives us, with taste, when he desires. I've been chanting for 20 minutes already on the level of, according to the fourth verse, and Krishna has not given me taste yet. He's at least 6 minutes late, according to my calculation. Obviously, we won't think in such a grossly arrogant way, but from my own experience, I think in subtly arrogant ways that are equal exactly to that, because I know my contaminations better than anyone, and I'm wondering why, you know, I've been chanting for 40 years and you know, I'm not satisfied with the results, and I'm wondering why, but I know why. So we chant, we serve, we accept Krishna's mercy in whatever forms it comes in. We let the difficulties of this world awaken us to our lack of shelter, and we let whatever situations we find ourselves in by the force of Krishna's mercy or our fate or our previous activities, we let them push us to Krishna's lotus feet and that shelter. Calling out always Krishna's holy names. Now, I could also speak so much about the things that, why we should not cultivate the desires, materialistic desires in our heart, but we all know why. Because we're sitting here, because we know that they won't really give us what we're looking for. And we could also speak about what things help us develop the taste. Because what happens when our taste is weak, when our desire is weak to take shelter of Krishna, something in the material world, some desire from our previous, that's been sitting in our heart will come and it will pull us very strongly away from Krishna consciousness, being conscious of service to Krishna. But if our desire is very strong, param dristva navartate, then nothing can pull us away. So it's so important to strengthen our desire. So we could speak so much about that, but of course we don't have time because today is a very important day. We want to capture the dust of the lotus feet of Srila Rupa Goswami today in Terakadamba, or even one speck of that dust, even to become in touch with that dust is so fortunate. We're going to have that fortune today if we're allowed to travel there safely and successfully. But just let me say that hearing and chanting in the association of devotees, in the presence of the Lord, in a holy place, be it a holy temple or in front of your deities, this is the essence of the process, this Panchanga Bhakti. And preaching. Preaching is so important because we really don't have, at least I can say for myself, how dependent this Kali Yuga victim is on mercy. And according to Chaitanya Charitamrita, when we distribute the mercy of Mahaprabhu, our own stock increases. And how important it is for Guru Vaishnava Seva. How important that is. And how important is the hearing and chanting. So this is the process, as I understood. The importance of the positive. Prabhupada said, and then we'll end here, the whole thing is in my hand. If I want to be degraded, I can prepare myself in this life for such degradation in the next life. And if we want to elevate ourselves to the highest perfection of life, as to become one of the associates of Krishna, we can prepare ourselves like that. You'll find in the advanced chapters, Bhagavad Gita, this is Bhagavad Gita class, Yanti deva vritam devam pitrin yanti pitrin vrita. Now we are trying to go to the moon planet. Now here in this life, if we cultivate ourselves for the same thought, the moon planet, that means the moon planet, about our moon planet we have to hear. And we have to think, I shall go to such and such place. Unless you hear, you cannot live there. Just like our friend, Mr. Cohen, he has left for California. Now, as far as I'm concerned, I have no idea of California. Now, he has told me after reaching there that he'll write about the description of that place. Now, suppose if, after reading that description of that place, I think of going there, and then I begin to prepare myself. And that's what Krishna consciousness means. It means deciding where you want to go and then aligning your whole life, physical, mental, emotional, intellectual, aligning your whole life so that you will successfully go there. So I prepare myself. Oh, I must go there. So just like I was describing that Chintamani Dham, what sort of trees are there? And you were very much pleased in thinking, I must go there to Golok Vrindavan. So we have to hear. Unless we hear what sort of God he is, what sort of God's place it is, what Vrindavan is like, what is the mode of life there, the simple village, all attractive village life of Braja with the herding of the cows and the cooking and the sweet crooked dealings. Unless we hear, we cannot be attracted. We cannot be attracted. And we will put that in the positive. If we do hear properly, we can be attracted. We can be attracted. Okay, thank you very much. We shall speak again at Terkadam. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gaunataya ki jai, Sisi Radha Govinda ki jai, Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Sri Bhasanadam ki jai.